Let's talk now about a venture in the tech world that's going on this week. Now, we've often talked about the role technology can play in changing the world and how tech players are trying to reach out beyond their own borders. Well, this week, we're seeing both those ideas come together in Silicon Valley as top tech entrepreneurs from across the Middle East and North Africa head to Silicon Valley to visit places like Twitter, Facebook, and Google. These entrepreneurs will be brainstorming with successful CEOs, learning how to expand their companies, and getting tips on pitching to investors. We wanted to hear more about it, so we've called journalist Nafisa Saeed. She's reported extensively on entrepreneurship in the tech world. She's actually headed out to this conference later this week, and she is with us now. Welcome. Thanks so much for joining us. I do want to mention also that you were one of our Twitter contributors around our Women in Tech series back in March, so it's good to see you in person.
Thanks so much, Michelle. It's great to be here.
So whose idea was this? Who put this conference together?
This conference is the brainchild of several different groups, including the MIT Enterprise Forum that has held startup competitions across the Arab world, as well as Tech Wadi, which is a nonprofit that builds bridges between Silicon Valley and the Arab world.
And what does Wadi mean in Arabic, by the way?
Wadi means valley, hence Tech Wadi.
Okay, well, that makes sense. So you've, as we mentioned, you've done a lot of research on female entrepreneurship and startups in general. Who are some of the people who are coming to this conference?
This week, they have a variety of entrepreneurs ranging from publishing, e-publishing, to health services. A couple that I can mention in particular include a group called Tamatam out of Jordan, and they're a mobile gaming studio and publisher. And they say they're trying to create culturally specific games for what they identify as 60 million smartphone users in the Arab world and who are seeking Arab-speaking content. And then another is called Karm Solar, which is out of Egypt, and they're looking to replace diesel power with solar energy because they say it's not only eco-friendly, but also more affordable and more reliable as well.
You know, we talked a lot, I think a lot of Americans who followed events in the Arab Spring heard a lot about the role that technology played. But I get the sense from you that these entities, I'm just wondering, were these entities or any of these entities influenced by the Arab Spring in any way? Most of these are kind of basic products that people would want to use. But do you know what I'm saying?
So, I would say that entrepreneurship has become a huge buzzword since the Arab Spring. Some people identify it as sort of the grand articulation of the entrepreneurial spirit of the Arab world. But I would also say that it's not new. It has been around before. In our book, Arab Women Rising, we cite several examples of women who started tech companies in the early 90s. They talk about what it was like to convince people to use the internet early on. But at the same time, this has been definitely a huge boon in terms of the momentum people have and how can I change things? How can I use different tools to kind of change society? And there's definitely a momentum built around that. And you see lots of organizations, both international organizations, U.S. government, pouring money into the idea of entrepreneurship. But then you also have a huge ecosystem that has evolved with local incubators in the Arab world, nurturing local entrepreneurs.
You mentioned women earlier. That is also another focus of your reporting. It's kind of ironic that there's this focus on women entrepreneurs when, as we've just discussed just recently, Silicon Valley has its own issues around the lack of diversity, you know, both gender and ethnic, and also kind of the growing sense that the environment itself is not as hospitable to people of different backgrounds as many people think they would like it to be, and that it should be, given its purpose and importance in our society. I wanted to ask, with the women entrepreneurs that you've been reporting on, what do they say about the role that gender plays in their lives as entrepreneurs? What do they say? Similar experiences?
One of the things my co-author Rahila Zephyr and I both were struck by was the number of women we met who are studying computer science and engineering, whereas here in the U.S., we still have an ongoing discussion of how do we get our girls to be interested in science and tech, whereas there, that's already happening with a lot of the women we met. So you have a convergence of a lot of different forces coming together that have pushed women into the tech field in the Arab world. You have more women pursuing higher ed in many countries, more women outnumber men. You have more women entering the workplace, and then you have more women becoming breadwinners for their families, in addition to then the very high internet penetration rates. So all of that combined, you see sort of women being pushed into the tech world. Now, in terms of whether gender played a role, in my interviews with dozens of women, we asked, has gender played a role? Do you ever feel like it has held you back? And there were actually many women, several of the women who said gender has never been an issue of getting ahead. And they actually decried and criticized women that do think that gender has held them back. But then there were other women that did tell us that there were some social attitudes or social cultural issues that may have gotten in the way sometimes. So for instance, if a woman has products where she has to go to a supplier or factories or certain parts of town that maybe her family's not comfortable with her going, or these are male-dominated areas that she had to sort of assert herself in a different way that she's not used to. We also asked the women to be very candid about their managing their work and family lives. And so there again, you see maybe their gender coming up as an issue where some of their families thought they needed to make their home the priority and not their work. While some told us their husbands and their fathers or brothers actually encouraged them to continue their business, some whose spouses may not have shared their vision ended up getting divorced because they weren't able to continue doing both.
I think those are stories that will sound very familiar to many, many, many people here. Well, so tell us a little bit more about what the various participants are hoping to accomplish this week. And recognizing, you know, you're heading out at the end of the week to present, so we hope that goes well. But how, tell us a little bit more about what the people participating hope to accomplish, and what are people who are receiving these entrepreneurs hope to get out of this exchange as well?
My sense is, you know, when I'm talking to people in the region, talking to young entrepreneurs, they're fascinated and they glean a lot of knowledge and inspiration from the experiences in Silicon Valley and look to some of those people as their heroes and something they want to emulate in a way in their own work. But when it comes to the knowledge of what's needed or what technology makes sense and what programs, what software will make sense, it's only going to be the people from the region who can actually develop that. So I think they're going there, my sense, a lot of them might be their dream to go to visit Google or Twitter and learn what they can, but also have an exchange. So see what ideas they could learn from Silicon Valley, but also let Silicon Valley know what it is that they're doing and how they're innovating in ways that Silicon Valley may have never seen actually before.
And just looking at the list of the entrepreneurs who were invited, they all seem young. Is that correct? Is there kind of an average age? I mean, they all seem to be kind of hovering around their 30s. Am I right about that? And is that generally the way, the wave of the future? It's young. Technology is young.
Right? Sure. There's a huge, obviously, they call it the youth bulge. In a lot of these countries, you have a very young population. And technology is just, you know, from a young age being eaten up by these young people. And you also have to keep in mind that a lot of the problems and issues that facing these societies, whether it's such as high unemployment, who's going to create opportunities, even amid the turmoil and other huge issues and challenges going on, sort of taking matters into their own hands. And again, I would say from the Arab Spring, they're taking that inspiration of how can we create new realities for ourselves.
I've been speaking with Nafisa Sayeed. She's co-author of the digital book Arab Women Rising, 35 Entrepreneurs Making a Difference. She's been telling us about a conference going on in Silicon Valley this week. It's called The Arab World Meets Silicon Valley. She's headed out there to present at the conference. But she was kind enough to stop here first in our studios in Washington, D.C. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Thanks for having me, Michelle.